Welcome to the Normal Birth Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Whipple. Today's guest is Kara C., mom of three. Kara's journey through her pregnancies has a little bit on PCOS and gestational diabetes, and my favorite part, learning her baby's personalities even in the womb. Welcome to the Normal Birth Podcast. This is Megan, and today's guest is Kara. How are you today?
Hi, good.
Hi. Thanks for coming on.
Sure.
Yeah. So we actually sat down before and recorded this whole thing. And unfortunately, the audio did not work out so well. So thank you so much for coming back.
Yeah, round two. Let's try again.
Round two. All right. So where would you like to start?
Well, I have three beautiful children. And fortunately, you know, all three live births, so we've never had a miscarriage or anything like that. But the road to pregnancy and each pregnancy was very different for all three kids. And they're all so different, all their personalities, but also I think each pregnancy was completely different, just like their personalities are completely different. So I'm really excited to kind of share my journey and, you know, if it helps someone or it helps things become more normal talking about pregnancy. You know, there's two types of women, usually people that love pregnancy and people that don't. And I just happen to be one of those people that I didn't really enjoy being pregnant. I enjoyed the product that it created, but, yeah, just our bodies. It is a miracle though. It's really cool to be a part of, but it is a sacrifice, you know, and there's things that change in your body and stretch marks and things that happen that you had no idea until you do it. And so I didn't have really a lot of people that told me the nitty gritties or the physical changes or the mental health or the even, you know, growing spiritually. I always knew like it would grow me in all those areas, but you know, having more radical acceptance and compassion on my body and my own, myself, has led me to appreciate these birth stories even more. So I'm excited to share it.
And that is great to hear. I think so many women need to understand that all of this is so beautiful in its own way. And that sometimes that includes some, you know, frankly, terrifying moments or some less than pleasant moments. And sometimes it's just pure joy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So do you want me just to start with August?
Yeah, that'd be first great. Born?
Okay. Well, he's 11 now. So this was about 12 years ago. We were 4 years into our marriage and I always knew I wanted kids. And I believe my husband did too, but he was a little more tentative about it. And I had been diagnosed with PCOS early on in our marriage. So after 2 years, we just didn't do birth control because honestly, it made me a hormonal wreck and the pills did. And, you know, just kind of letting God decide on when, you know, he kind of wanted to bring someone about a little child. And so we, you know, for about 2 years, just kind of did our thing and, you know, just noticed, hey, we're not, you know, I never knew when my ovulation cycle was with PCOS. So I would go maybe 4 or 6 months without a period. So we're not really sure when we got pregnant with August, but I was on metformin and that kind of helped my cycle. I do remember that. So it was kind of a cool thing to get that little, those two pink lines after, you know, trying for a little while, or not really trying, but sort of trying, right?
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens.
What tipped you off that you were pregnant and wanted to test?
Oh gosh. Probably the sore boobs and, just feeling different. I don't know what, there's just kind of an intuition you have, but sure enough, after, I think I was only 3 weeks pregnant and kind of rushed into the OB office or we got an early appointment and they couldn't see a heartbeat. And so that freaked me out. So we didn't know when we got pregnant. So therefore we got there really early and they saw it's called a fetal pole, excuse my Southern language, pole. And they didn't see a heartbeat. So like, oh, just come back in 3 weeks. No worries. I'm freaking out, you know, like, oh no, like there's only a little fetal thing. There's no heartbeat. And so I'm freaking out for 3 weeks thinking, well, you know, what's happening to my body, but I feel pregnant, right? My boobs are sore and hormones are definitely going in the right direction. So, 3 weeks later, we got to see August and his heartbeat and he was wiggling around. He looked like a little gummy bear. So I think that's when it was like, Aaron was like, oh, this is real. You know, there's actually, you know, the little guys in there. So, yeah, everything. I was pretty sick the first, I would say 12 weeks with August. I couldn't eat eggs or orange juice. Blech. It was just really gross.
Yep.
But morning, compared to all three pregnancies, I think, you know, his morning sickness wasn't as bad, I think. And then just feeling tired. And of course, I was a pretty thin PCOSer. So no stretch marks. So, you know, first pregnancy, you're like, oh, this is great. But I was tired and I didn't love being pregnant, but I think it was more just, oh my goodness, what's more anxious with your first, because you don't know what to expect or what to do. And I thought, you know, labor, if the pregnancy is good like this, well, surely labor will be quick and easy or delivery will be fine. But I also had gestational diabetes with August, and then I think you get tested for that around what, 24, 25 weeks,
somewhere in there.
So I had to start eating better. I had to start pricking my finger twice a day and logging my food. And I had a little bit of gallbladder issues and I love cottage cheese and I would just eat the heck out of cottage cheese. I had to like taper that down, but then, oh, well, wait, you can't eat too many fats, but then you got to like not eat too many carbs. And it was a lot of work while working full-time as a clinical social worker, and trying to be present with patients while I had this little person rolling around in my stomach, or getting nauseous in the middle of sessions, you know?
Yeah. That sounds really hard.
Luckily, most of my patients were really, really cool about it. Like they'd be like, okay, yeah, I guess you need this. Go take care of business. Come right back. But, no, luckily no one fired me. But I think they understood. And then the last, I think I went, you know, I had an OB that was very interesting. He did not have the greatest bedside manner. Kind of asked him about nausea and vomiting the first few weeks. And his explanation, well, it was just because it's our evolutionary process. And the Native Americans, it told them when to not eat the wrong berries back in the wild. And I was just like, not quite in line with my values or, but also it just didn't make sense to me, but I was just hoping for like a hormonal explanation, but he gave kind of different, he was a little bit for his checkups, a little bit forceful. And he was definitely did not have a gentle touch when it came to checking at the 37 or 38 weeks. So yeah, there were red flags then.
Okay.
We'll just call him Dr. H. And so, anyway, he knew I had gestational diabetes. He knew I was a little more high risk. Although I don't think I was technically high risk. I don't remember what the requirement was for that. I think the last few weeks they monitored me a little, but 41 weeks went by and then 42 weeks came and they're like, well, we should probably induce you. And I was pretty big by then. I was feeling pretty out of breath. But again, first pregnancy, I didn't know what I was doing. I was a little scared. I was nervous, but I was so excited. I'm like, let's do this. And so induction day came on Dolly Parton's birthday. And I'm like, sure enough, this is going to be it. It's Dolly Parton's birthday. Let's do this. Let's have a kid on Dolly Parton's birthday. Cause you know, she's awesome. She's Dolly. So, January 19th, actually 2011, I came in all, you know, dolled up. I had my hair done.
Oh, good for you.
I showered. We ate at 12 midnight because, you know, you can't eat after that. So we went to Waffle House. We were so excited. So I ate so much food. And then you're supposedly NPO. So I brought some little suckers with me because I knew, okay, I'm gestational diabetic. And when I get sugar lows, I'm going to get very hangry. So I brought those and let's see, they started the, is it the Pitocin? Is that what they start?
Typically, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So things were softening, but there was no dilation. I think it was like 6 hours and then 9 hours and then 10 hours. And maybe I was dilated like a centimeter. And then 12 hours and then 13 and then 14. And then I think somewhere around 16 hours, maybe something started to happen. I don't know. They put some cream down there maybe.
Okay.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, okay. It's a cream that helps kind of soften stuff up.
Stuff up. So they did that. And I think they upped the Pitocin or whatever. And they're like, mm-hmm. hey, this needs to start happening. So it took a long, long time. And I think it was at the 17 or 18 hour mark. They're like, okay, I think you're ready to start pushing. And so I pushed and I pushed. And I pushed and I pushed. I gave it my full effort. I'm like, this is going to happen. We are doing this. And let's see. I was getting tired, but my heart, my vitals were great. My blood pressure was awesome.
How were you feeling at this point? Because I mean, you had been in labor for quite some time.
I think I was so tired and I was so just like excited. Yeah. But I could notice I was starting to really, I think your adrenaline gets going. I think that's the biggest thing.
Were you on your back in the hospital during labor or were they letting you move around?
They would not let me move. That was back in the old days. I don't know if what they do now, but 2011, that was not, once they start hooking you up to all the machines and everything, you just kind of had to sit there. And I noticed like everybody was coming in and out of my room and my poor husband, he tried not to eat in front of me, but they went in and out and I could smell like food on them.
Yeah.
Like you all turkey. My mom was there and I think I freaked my sister out when I started pushing because she's very modest and she came in the room and like her whole face went white. Like, oh no. But those labor and delivery nurses, they really worked hard. I mean, they have a code for like when they're getting tired of like, go get me the purple folder or something or, and you could tell they had to take their lunch break. So I was pushing for like 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And nothing was working. He was sunny side up and his nose was up toward my pelvis.
Yeah.
And so his head still to this day is huge. He has a huge head. And so I tried and it kind of felt like he went back inside me. Like we could see his head, but then it would go back. And he actually fell asleep during birth. They could tell by his heart rate. His heart rate got really like steady and they're like, I think he's asleep. And they could tell he was just chilling. So he was fine, but I was getting anxious. And they were saying, well, Dr. H is delivering 3 other people tonight, or there's 3 other C-sections. So you're going to have to wait.
Okay.
And I was like, what? And he comes in and he's like, yeah, this isn't, you're not progressing. He's not going to come out. Your hips are small. I was thinking, well, why didn't y'all tell me that to begin with?
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to know that. And I just started crying. I remember that. And then they put this spinal tap or something inside of you or in your back and you have to hold really still. And they don't tell you, but the normal reaction is an allergic reaction or a freaky reaction. It feels like bugs are crawling all over you.
Oh.
And they lean you back and you literally feel like bugs are crawling all over you. Mm-mm. And it's common. I didn't know, but I talked to my friend who's a doctor and she said, oh, you didn't know that? I was like, no, nobody tells you this.
Yeah, that's definitely something I would have liked to know beforehand.
Yeah. And so I don't know if it was just me and my body responding to a spinal tap. But they said a lot. And by then we're at 21 hours. Okay. So I've been without food for 20 hours. I was kind of seeing, I felt like I was feeling bugs all over me. I don't know if that was a hallucination or it was a reaction to this medicine. And I just remember Aaron and my mom leaving the room, and Aaron had to go get suited up. And I was like, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. And I was all alone in that room, like literally feeling like bugs were crawling all over me. Wow. For about 15 minutes. And then I don't remember much after that. I might have just kind of, I don't know if they gave me something in my IV to fall asleep, or maybe I was just tired.
Yeah.
But they rolled me back, and I know they were putting a sheet up, but I could tell Aaron was in the room, but everyone was super quiet. I don't know why. But I could feel him kind of inside me. And then I hear some crying, and I was so exhausted. I feel so bad. Like the first 2 or 3 minutes, I was so excited, and they brought the baby around, and it was August, and he was perfect. He was 8 pounds, 1 ounce, 20 inches long, but his head was huge. He could
just take so one look and you're like, oh, okay.
Well, there you go. That's why. But I remember kissing him and just falling asleep. And I feel so bad. I think my sister and my husband and my mom were the first ones to really feed him or hold him. And that, you know, I feel bad about that, but I don't at the same time. I feel bad, but I don't, you know, yeah. It's like, I did the best. I really tried, kid.
Yeah.
You're not going to remember.
Sounds like it.
This either. Yeah.
Well, did you have any kind of expectations going in about like golden hour and skin to skin, or were you just kind of like, whatever happens, happens?
Whatever happens, happens. I wanted skin to skin. And I think once I awoke and was less exhausted, I remember, I think they gave him a little bit of formula to get his blood sugar. Mm-hmm. Again, just to make sure he was okay. They take their sugar levels and give him a little formula. And I had gone to all the breastfeeding classes, but my milk took a long time. I think he was a little tongue tied too. And so we were both trying to figure it out. And I know it took 5 days for my milk to come in. I was good at pumping though. Yeah. I was really good at pumping, but August had a hard time breastfeeding. He actually weaned me at 8 months because of teething. So, that was a surprise as well. It was a hard, fast wean.
Yeah.
But we really tried for 8 months while I was working. I pumped. But something interesting, no one told me to take Colace.
Okay.
During my pregnancy, the last 2 months, I had severe hemorrhoids to the point of severe pain after birth. I don't know if it was from all the pushing or the C-section. Mm-hmm. My scar looked great. My weight was fine. But from all of that pressure, I think I blew out my other end.
Yeah.
And actually, 3 weeks after he was born, I had to start doing sitz baths. And then I guess my OB looked down below and said, hey, you're going to need surgery or something. We're going to need to get you into a surgeon. And so I got an evaluation. They're like, yeah, you're going to need surgery. And so I went back.
How long after delivery was this?
This was 3 weeks. I had to have surgery. And that probably impacted my breastfeeding too, because I had to be on meds for a couple days and pump and dump that. Mm-hmm. And so had surgery 3 weeks postpartum and went back to work after 6 weeks. I should not have gone back to work. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought, well, this is what everybody else does, right? Mm-hmm. And in a sitting job, probably made it worse. So the pain was really, really bad the first 3 weeks, 5 weeks. And then it got better. I remember taking sitz baths for about 5 weeks until everything healed. So luckily that's been healed. But I took my stool softeners after that for the other 2 days. So but that was August. He's beautiful. He was healthy. Just so much fun to be with. He was a really good infant. And so that was that. And then enter 2 years later, fast forward, we were like, hey, maybe we'll try and have one more. And so we were going to a formal, and I remember feeling funny again and feeling bloated, and my boobs were hurting again. I'm like, oh, let me take a pregnancy test. And sure enough, I was pregnant again. So again, didn't know when we got pregnant or how I know how we did, but didn't know when, because PCOS was still a thing, and didn't know really when my periods, but you know, with PCOS, once you get pregnant, your body tends to know how to do it again, which is really interesting. But I got a different OB. I was like, this is not good to be waiting for an hour after you've pushed for 3 hours for a doctor just to say, well, I've got to deliver a few more babies before I get to you. Yeah. So enter Dr. A, awesome bedside manner. I knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted to try. I didn't know if I needed to do a C-section again, but I was like, hey, I just want a doctor that's going to work with me, right? Mm-hmm. And just had a great bedside manner, and I really trusted him. He was really gentle, and Aaron loved him. And so that pregnancy was so different. Davis's personality is run, 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 run. And he is super active. And so that pregnancy, I literally got zero sleep. Yeah. So insomnia kicked in really bad. And so I maybe got 2 or 3 hours throughout the pregnancy a night while working full time. I was a little bit smaller with Davis, and I could tell it was just a different pregnancy. So he ran inside of me. And I think that's what kept me up all night too, is I could feel him running. and he still runs to this day. That's his personality. And so, so on the day of the scheduled C-section, cause I was like, well, it's like, well, there's a percentage that your uterus will, tear, or, you know, the C-section scar maybe, or there'll be an abruption or something to mm-hmm. that nature. I don't remember what the words were. And he's like, this time we're not going to let you go past 40, 41 weeks. And I was like, okay, well, I trust you. I like you.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So let's set a date. So we set the date for 2 years and 8 days later, for January 28th. And the night before my scheduled C-section, I was like, man, I can't breathe very well. And I just felt like my sides were tightening. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I got in the bathtub and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Like, I'm in pain. It's not going away. And I'm like, oh, I need to get a contraction timer. And I'm like, what is going on? And like every 5 to 7 minutes, I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, whatever.
So real quick, one thing I want to point out is my doula told me, and I did not know this before, she said getting in a bath has a way of bringing on the labor if it's just kind of doing whatever. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that. I thought, oh, if I take a bath, it'll make things better.
It's gonna, that's what like, I thought too.
It's going to make it go away. Like maybe it's all in my head, right? Like I can't be having labor the day before my C-section. How's that possible? So I think he was determined to kick me to death. I really think little Davis was like, I'm coming, ready or not, mom, here I am. So he was running really hard and my body was like, okay, something's going on here. And so, and then it was every 3 minutes and then it was every 2 minutes. I definitely did not sleep the night before Davis came out. And by 4 or 5 a.m., I think at 5 a.m. I woke Aaron up and I was like, hey, I think I'm having contractions every 2 to 3 minutes at this point. Yeah. I was like, I can't really breathe very good. And he got up and he's like kind of speeding through traffic. You know? There's nobody on the road. I'm like, why are you speeding? I was like, but then again, go faster. Let's go. Yeah. So it was a little painful, but not bad. It wasn't terrible. I have a pretty high pain tolerance. And we got to the hospital and sure enough, they checked me in and did the finger test. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I was 6 centimeters dilated.
Okay. So like hitting transition, which is maybe, like don't what know. Most people consider active labor is right around 6 centimeters.
Yeah. So I had done that all my own for a lady that had been kind of forced to do a C-section and had such slow progress at 42 weeks. I felt like, whoa, this is crazy. Is this really happening? Am I going to get to like push him out on my own? Like, this is so cool. And so Dr. A comes in and he's like, well, you know what? The nurses call him in early and he comes in early just for me. Isn't that cool? And he was like, I know, I felt kind of special. he's like, you know what, we were going to do the C-section at 1, but what if we just, you know, try a VBAC instead?
See how it goes.
See how it goes. And I was like, heck yeah. And so I think I maybe had 2 hours of, you know, oh, I also got an epidural. And I want to tell you something. For someone that thought I would do it natural, which, you know, fine. With August, my epidural was only half good. Like only half my side was numbed out and I could feel everything while pushing. I said, sure. He said, you're probably going to be a little calmer and just feel a little better and have more energy afterwards. And after that last labor, I was like, sign me up for more energy and actually getting to experience my kid.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, do the epidural. And so they did that and it worked. The anesthetician, I guess it's the difference between having
anesthesiologist?
Yes, that's the word. Okay. Anesthesiologist at 3 a.m. versus, you know, middle of the day when they're all awake, maybe. Mm-hmm. they got it in the right spot. I will say that. Good. And so I was good and numb. I could still move my legs a little bit, I think, or my toes. But wow, like the pain relief was incredible. Mm-hmm. It was not hard at all. And then I think they were just like, hey, it's time to push. And I was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, he was only 7 pounds, maybe 11 ounces or something like that. And they just had to do the forceps, I think, to get his little shoulders out.
Okay.
And it literally was like 2 or 3 pushes. And he came right out. So I can deliver with these small pelvis.
You can.
And I didn't have gestational diabetes that time. And it was really sweet because Davis was such a good breastfeeder. And I think he would still be breastfeeding today if I let him. And we knew what we were doing. And I think that's the beauty of the second and subsequent pregnancies and labors, is at least like, you know, like with breastfeeding or pumping or however you want to feed your kid, you kind of know what you're doing at that point. Now every kid's different, but you're like, what's one more kid, right? Like just come on, let's just try it again. So Davis, he's still very active. He runs everywhere and he's 8 now and super healthy. He had really bad eczema. You know, he has seasonal allergies. But I do attribute that to our old house. Like, I think we had some mold in the house, but, other than that, I think I have seasonal allergies too, but did not have gestational diabetes. And again, the weight kind of came off kind of quickly with him. But your body's just different. And, you know, it was much easier to recover after a vaginal.
Yeah.
And not having a hemorrhoidectomy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not having to have surgery.
Yeah. And go back to work. So I went back to work after 8 weeks with him. I was like, I'm not doing the 6 weeks. I'm doing 8 weeks. And that's back when 8 weeks was allowed in the federal government service. And so, yeah. And so that was awesome. And enter in, well, are we really done? And we talked about it and I gave my husband kind of a 6 to 9 month window.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if it happens, it happens, man. If not, we need to close down shop. Cause you know, snip, snip, buddy. If we're not going to have more kids. And so, I didn't do well. No, I will say I got on birth control after Davis for 2 years. Oh, that's the other thing. I did get postpartum with him from not sleeping. I feel like it was the not sleeping and the hormones. So I got a Mirena put in.
Okay.
After Davis. And I thought, oh, that's a great decision because I won't have to remember a pill, right?
Yeah.
Well, I started noticing changes 2 to 3 months afterwards.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this, but crying spells, and I am actually a therapist and didn't even notice what was going on to my body. Again, the breastfeeding was going good. He's awesome. We co-slept August was walking and talking. It was just busy. And I think the overwhelming responsibility of trying to keep two humans alive and then sleep, I wasn't sleeping, took its toll. And I think I got on some medications for about a year and a half, thinking, oh, well, it's probably just my serotonins. But I got my Mirena out, and I tell you what, I think that's what did it. I think once I got my Mirena out, I think my hormones went back to normal. And I think it was a stress-induced situation, but I think it was the hormone that was in the Mirena that did it. So I can't prove that, but there were just a lot of indicators pointing to that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I have heard of people saying similar things about IUDs. It's just important to be familiar with what's normal for your body and what's not.
Yes.
Be aware that that could be a side effect.
Yes. So pay attention to that, ladies. If you get on birth control or you notice hormone switches and it's over 2 weeks all day, every day, it's not the baby blues anymore. If you're not sleeping, sleep is probably number one that causes, you know, distress. And then if you're crying all the time, or you have had an IUD or hormones, like, consider maybe more natural methods to prevent that. But that's just my advice. I wish I had known more about that. And they were just doing research on that as I was getting my Mirena. There was not a lot of research on that yet.
Yeah.
So we got it out and we were like, well, if it happens, it happens. I have PCOS still. My periods were a little more consistent after Davis, but not maybe every 3 months. So we were getting in the right direction, but I had a sinus infection and I took Mucinex and I was like, I guess we were just having a good time. And next thing I know, I'm like, hey, we're pregnant again. I gave you 6 months. It happened in 3 months. So, it was kind of a cool blessing because we were like, you know, felt like we kind of knew, you know, the babies were older. We had a 6 and a 4 year old, and August was so sweet. He's like, I just want a baby sister. And he prayed for a little girl. And we went to the little baby bump place and we're like, well, you know, I just had already prepared my mind for it's going to be another boy, you know, I'm a boy mom. But they didn't see the little turtle. They saw a little hamburger.
The hamburger sign.
The hamburger. And Aaron, I just remember his facial expression. He was so excited. I mean, he just went, yes, and like kind of fell over. And Davis was the only one a little disappointed. I think he wanted a little brother, but he was only 4, so he didn't really. He's like, whatever. But Ellie's pregnancy was she was different. I had gestational diabetes again.
Mm-hmm.
They test you for that bacteria or something. I had
strep
that.
B.
Yes, yeah. I had strep B, which I guess that's not a big deal, but I had that. I was huge and I got huge stretch marks. Like I was just all belly and belly was huge. And she was powerful in the belly. August was, I never even knew that, you know, he was in there. He never moved much. He slept a lot. Mm-hmm. He probably ate a lot. And then Davis ran. And then Ellie, when she kicked me, she almost took the breath out of me. Like she was like, So I knew she might be big. You know, my gestational diabetes was out of control. I think got up to 200 something. Mm-hmm. And they had to put me the last maybe 2 or 3 months on glucophage. Dr. A was a little upset with me. He's like, okay, you guys need to be good. And I pointed to my husband. I'm like, he's taking me to the diner, giving me pancakes. I did not want to accept personal responsibility, right?
How are you supposed to say no to pancakes? You're pregnant.
He would eat chocolate peanut butter pancakes in front of me.
Oh, that's
so with syrup, like he figured out the diner would serve hot, warm peanut butter and chocolate. And then you could put syrup on top of it.
Oh.
And I was like, what? And so I had to join in, but I had to take my medicine. And I would go on walks, you know, thinking, okay, this will be better for her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there was just no stopping the runaway train. That was my belly and Ellie. So I think we got up to like, oh, I think I was going in for stress tests. That's the only bad thing about third pregnancy, advanced maternal age. Mm-hmm. At like 35, 34 weeks, I think they had to monitor her because I think she didn't have a lot of room in there. So they're going in every week and the doctor's like, hey, be good with your eating, keep doing what you're doing, but try to taper it down. So I was trying, not very hard. Don't do what I do, just do what I say, right? So I was trying, but not really. And then 38 weeks happened. And then I think 39 weeks, I started like getting shortness of breath. And I was doing treatment with patients. And I just remember my nurse case manager, I came out and I was like, I think I'm going into labor. I don't know, but I think it was an anxiety attack at that point because I couldn't breathe and I'd been sitting all day. Yeah. And he's like, you just need to go home. And I went to my OB appointment the next day. I was like, really want to keep working or do you want to like just kind of be on bed rest for the next week or two? I'm like, bed rest, yes please. And he could tell I was miserable, so he's like, I got you. So FMLA, mm-hmm. Praise God. I had a little leave saved up, but not much, but who cares at that point? You're just so pregnant, you're like, I don't even care, let me just go lay in my bed and watch some favorite shows. So I think that was a week and a half, and Dr. A was like, okay, we kind of need to pick a date. This is your third round. Definitely looks like it's going to be a C-section at this point.
Yeah.
So he's like, let's just do it a planned C-section. And so I picked March 24th, and that was, you know, my birthday's January 24th. So we have three January birthdays. And then I was like, hey, the 24th is a good day. So we picked that day and again, was able to like get all ready. And it was super just, I guess it was easy. We just kind of checked in and waited a little while. And then, she was so beautiful. And basically I got strapped down. I remember that. And I have really low blood pressure. So I do remember saying, I'm going to vomit. Like I was NPO, but I could tell I was kind of, my blood pressure was good. And I think they shot me up with something to get my heart rate up. And I was like, I'm going to vomit. And so I did. They had a little bucket I could vomit in. And I just remember my stomach just going boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And all the nurses were on top of me and they strapped my arms down. And Dr. A was like, this is going to be a big baby. This is going to be a big baby. I'm like, oh gosh, how big? And I didn't hear her cry for like a minute. I'm like, oh gosh, is she okay?
Yeah.
And he's cleaning her up and he holds her up. And I'm like, that is the biggest baby I've ever seen in my whole life. And I look over at Aaron and he's like, I think it is a big baby. And sure enough, she was 10 pounds. And they clean her up and I could just see the nurses just rolling their eyes and like judgy looks of how big she was. Cause I know. And even the nursery nurse was giving Erin a hard time. Like, we have to give her some formula because, you know, this is a gestational diabetes baby. So they gave her a little formula to get her sugars up. But she was wonderful at breastfeeding too. And she just took right to it. And my kids never had the whole nipple confusion thing.
Okay.
They could go from bottle to breast. So I would pump some nights and have Erin feed her, or vice versa. But Ellie was so good at breastfeeding. It was just, well, actually Davis was, he was the good one that breastfed, no problem. But she could do both. And, she just liked to eat. That girl could eat, but she's beautiful and healthy. And she was 10 pounds. And it was so funny because our friends from our daycare had their baby.
Yeah.
The same day. And she was only 6 pounds and we laid them side by side. And yeah, Ellie's like the Michelin man versus like versus Captain America, right? Like it's just completely
almost different. Twice the size.
Like my kid was already in size one diapers.
Aww.
And 3 month old clothes. It was crazy. But that was normal. That's what like was probably better that we probably should have, you know, but again, gestational diabetes is not fun. Don't recommend, but your body's going to do what your body's going to do. And luckily it was temporary and I don't have diabetes to this day. I still have PCOS, but my periods are completely regulated now. After having a girl every 30, 45 days, I have a period now. So it was really cool that she kind of reset my clock to do what it's supposed to do.
That is
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah. And they tied my tubes while they were in there. They're like, are you sure? Are you really, really sure you don't want any more kids?
Yeah.
Are you 110% sure you don't want kids? I'm like, dadgummit, tie my tubes. We're done.
How many boxes do I have to check?
Yeah. And then they send it off to pathology just to make sure that they got your tubes tied. I don't know what they're checking for. Yes.
I don't either.
Tied my tubes, but yeah. But that was great. And you know what? It made it so much easier not having to take a pill or get a Mirena. After 8 weeks, we could resume everything. And it's just such a freeing feeling to know when you know you're done with kids, you know you're done. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a good thing to know, okay, this is just our time. Like, we know we're at our max capacity. We're outnumbered with three. And they're such a blessing. I think when you know, you just know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that must be a huge relief, especially with the issues that you had with the hormonal birth control, not having to deal with that anymore.
And nobody ever talks about that, like how hard birth control is on your body. But yeah. Then, I'm not really ready to get pregnant again either, but the pros versus the cons. I mean, mm-hmm. I almost think the natural family planning, if I didn't have PCOS, I would have totally done that. But I didn't even know when I was going to ovulate, you know?
Yeah.
So I think looking back, we probably just would have never done birth control and just kind of let our bodies do its thing. But what's cool about it is we have three beautiful children and every one of their personalities is different. Every one of their pregnancies was different. And every one of the labor and deliveries was different.
Yeah.
So, and the biggest thing is just having healthy mommy and healthy baby. So
that's a really cool experience that I don't think a lot of women get to have, where you have like three totally different, really nice range of what birth can be like.
Yes, that's true. I think the first one is still a little more traumatic than the others, but, I think that's just because I didn't know what I was doing. I don't think I did anything wrong.
Yep.
I think I would have picked a different doctor.
And you did the second time.
Yeah, and I did. I did. So if you get red flags in your gut and your body and your parents and your husband are telling you, hey, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Listen to it. You get to choose who you want to deliver your baby. And that's important.
It is.
I think that postpartum after Ellie was so awesome because the boys were able to help get me diapers and, I kind of felt like, oh, I've got this down now. I mean, I'm sure I did, not everything perfect, but, working full time, I was able to kind of have my supports in place. I think that's the biggest thing is after postpartum, if you want your mom to stay a month, have her stay a month, or if you need neighbors to come bring you a meal, just let them. Don't fight people that want to help you. That's my biggest thing. It's not fun to always ask for help, but take it.
Accept it. Yes.
Yes. Accept help.
Yeah. So. Well, so you have had this huge range of experiences and you're a mental health professional. What would you say going into this what would you say you think would help other women to know specifically about your story? What would be your takeaway?
Wow. Oh, that's such a good question, Megan. You're not alone. Yeah. None of us know what we're doing. You know, there are manuals, but none of them are 100% your style of parenting or breastfeeding or labor and delivery. What to expect while expecting, you can just throw that right out of the window. Like that has no hold on what your experience is. If you listen to these podcasts, I think that's your best bet, is just trust the process. Trust God. Bad things happen to good people, like hormones and big babies and gestational diabetes and PCOS. And there are no perfect circumstances. So if you have a water birth and it's natural, awesome. If you want to have a C-section, awesome. If you want to do a vaginal birth with epidural, that's awesome. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I think we all judge each other a little too much, and your body's going to do what it's supposed to do. And if it can't, thank goodness for medical assistance, because back in the day, 11 years ago, I wouldn't have made it through that pregnancy. I mean, pushing for 21 hours, his head was too big. He was too big. He would have never come out. And, and that's what Aaron said. He's like, we would have lost you guys. And so even though I didn't enjoy the doctor and it wasn't the best experience, it was probably a lot better than being in the 1800s. And, you know, maybe there was more motherly advice and midwifery kind of things and doulas, but I don't think I would have survived. And so just take care of yourself, take care of your mental health. If it's longer than 2 weeks and you're not feeling right, I've always been attached to my babies. I never had that problem. But if you're having bad thoughts about yourself and your worth or your hope, or you're feeling helpless, go get therapy, get on a little something if you need it. It's not, you being a better parent is going to bring so much more to your, for your kid. You know, you can't put a price on your own mental health. That's priceless. So get help. It happens in, I think, 1 out of 3 pregnancies get postpartum. You get a little postpartum after, and it's nothing to be ashamed about. It is so much more common than women want to talk about.
Yep.
So just take care of yourself. That's what I would give. But I just appreciate you having me on, Megan. And I hope this helps somebody that may not feel like they're doing it right or know what they're doing, but there really is no right or wrong. You just need to trust and make sure you take good care of yourself while you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I do think that that's going to really help somebody who takes the time to listen to that.
Okay. Thank you, lady.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Normal Birth Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or are interested in being on the show, please send me an email to normalbirthpod@gmail.com.